Good afternoon, good evening, guys. Good morning. I hope you're having an amazing day. This is Bernice. Thank you for tuning into Devoted with Bernice today. So I wanted to hop on real quickly and talk about what August is all about. I normally share it, you know, the first week on either on my YouTube channel or my Facebook channel. And normally, this is the place where I do it last. I share it last. So if you were waiting for it, I am sorry. It is my hope that some of you or many of you actually will be able to like dwell at the secret place of the Lord and literally hear him say what each month is. You know, we all can prophesy, right? Of course, the prophetic gift is different from the, you know, prophetic office. But I believe that this is a season where, you know, he's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, and those that are thirsty and yearning for it will be able to step into that pool of water of overflow and really be able to be one of the Issachar prophets that can literally see the times and the seasons. So, you know, it's all about heart posture. It's all about humility. Humility is so important when it comes to the prophetic, because we don't prophesy, you know, what we want until when you hear God, what he says in a humility way, in a humble way, you receive it even if you don't see how it's going to happen. I remember many years ago, the Lord, you know, I kept having an impression in me about warning people about the Tesla cars, you know, the electronic cars. And, you know, God was telling me, hey, tell them that these cars, some of them, is going to be a time where literally they're going to just be sitting on fire. They're just sitting there and they just explode. And I was like, okay. And so I, you know, I talked about it on Facebook, and I released it on Facebook. And then recently, You know, as you all know, I don't watch TV. I don't watch the news unless the Lord prompts me to go and look up something, or if he tells me something is happening here and I, you know, I go look at it. But on occasions, I don't watch TV. I've not watched TV in like 5 years or 6 years by now. I don't remember. It was 2017 when I stopped watching TV. So you do the math. Anyway, it's the best thing I ever did because it allows me to literally get closer to God on a deeper level than I've ever done. When I stopped watching TV, that's when my prophetic gift, my seer anointing, started to like really go into another level. I really started to see in realm of the spirit after I gave up TV, because TV was like literally in my bedroom, and so that's all that I watch, right? And so now that I don't have that in my face, God is able to be in my face per se. And so, you know, the Tesla car, you know, God was talking to me, I think it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when it first came out and people like really buying it, you know, God was talking to me. He's like, I want, and I feel the anointing on me right now. He's like, I want you to warn these people, warn them that, you know, Tesla. And I'm like, warn them about what? And he's like, hey, and he showed me an impression of a vision of seeing these Tesla's car just sitting there in the parking lot and just exploding. And so now when I got on Google, I saw that, you know, there are some Tesla's car like literally exploding by themselves. Nobody's touching it. It's just sitting there exploding. And so, you know, sometimes Issachar prophets, they, you know, we warn the people. We don't just see and just say, right? But we warn. It's a warning, like, hey, those that are buying these cars or those that are doing certain things, yes, Holy Spirit, you know, be careful, you know? It's a warning. It's not that we don't want you to have luxury and we don't want you to enjoy your life. God knows where it's going to end, right? He knows the beginning from the end. He's a God of Genesis to Revelations, right? Even Abraham. Abraham is completely Genesis to Revelation, if you think about it, because he was holding the seed, Isaac, that is going to populate the whole nations, right? So God knows the beginning from the end. So when he warns, you know, prophets to warn people, it's not that he doesn't want you to have fun. It's that he wants you to be cautious, right? To be cautious. So let's keep the, you know, the Tesla people in prayer. Those that are I have Teslas. Let bakure besure iskarabazite, reketere bazure itarema. God, I pray for them. I pray that they will find a mechanical issue, the engineering issue. That the Lord says engineering issue. It is an engineering issue. So I pray they will find the engineering issue, and that they will be able to identify it and fix it quickly. Lord, I come against any further explosions, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will cover these cars, Lord. And even if they do explode, I pray nobody is in it. That nobody is in the car, God, when it does explode. Spare the lives of people, Holy Spirit. And so I plead and I seal this prayer in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the blood of Jesus Christ. So right now, what God was showing me, I had a vision 2 days ago where I saw... I had a vision of a supermarket where people were walking, okay, walking around. All I saw was their feet. People were walking. And from their knee down, that's all I saw. And you know how in the supermarket people are just walking around, shopping and all of that. But on the floor, the reason why God allowed me to just focus on that was because if he showed me the whole place, I would not be able to focus on what he's showing me. See, the thing about being a seer is that God knows you as a seer. He knows that if he showed you certain things, you would not be able to understand. So I believe that we are in a season where seers, your seer anointing is going through a season of specificity, where God shows you what you need to know. Even in your dream room, he just shows you what you need to know, what you need to see. You know, he might, you know, show you a whole, you might have a vision of a whole place, but he will zoom into one specific item on that table. And that's what he's showing you. I believe that God is trying to make your visions more accurate. By what I say accurate, meaning that you're able to grasp the concept and the idea and the assignment quickly, okay? And so if you've been feeling this new way of seeing, be open to it. God knows what he's doing. There are times where I've had visions where literally the vision zooms into something. Like I'll see it completely and then it will zoom in. And I'm like, okay, this is what you want me to focus on. All right. Then I'll pray about it. What? Why did you let me focus on this thing? And then he's telling me about it. And so the important thing is that you have to be a prayer warrior when you are an Issachar prophet, when you are a seer. So what the Lord showed me was I saw a black snake, like literally crawling on the floor. And people were like literally like passing by, like they didn't even notice that it was there. I believe that the snake was in the realm of the spirit. It wasn't literally like on the floor. So they were not able to see it. But those that have the eyes to see in the realm of the spirit, if you paid attention, you will be able to see it. And what God was talking to me about after I had that vision, it was like a literally, it was a panoramic vision. So it was movement. It was like a movie, you know, vision. It wasn't a pictorial vision, right? So what God was talking to me about is that we are in a season where we have to be very discerning. We have to be very vigilant. We have to be very cautious and we have to be aware of our surroundings. We have to be aware, not just in the physical, but in the realm of the spirit, because there's something happening in the food industry, in the marketplace. Okay, this was in the food marketplace. This was in the grocery store. The enemy is doing something in the government to do something in the food system. There is something deceptive, something very demonic, very witch, even witchcrafty, very satanic happening, very evil happening in the supermarket. And I want you all to pray, because when you see a snake at a specific place, it's not good. The enemy is there doing something. And people are not even seeing it. They're so blind and oblivious to it. And so God is calling us to pray. If you're an intercessor, this is a time to pray about what you know, this message. There is something happening. Of course, we all know about, you know, the chicken, the laboratory chicken. I already talked to you guys about it. God was talking to me about it in December of last year. And I told you all to go get you a chicken coop. So there's more that the enemy is doing. And I, as I'm praying about it, I'm seeking God to reveal it to me. And of course, also I shared with you all about the water when I had a dream. When I had a dream about where I went to the supermarket and I went to literally get a bottle of water. And the water smelled like, you know, chemicals. So I put it back. It was Dasani water, Dasani. So I put it back to try and go get a different water. So there's already certain things that are happening already in front of us, right? I don't know anything that has happened with Dasani water or any type of water. I've not looked it up. But, you know, what God was showing me was that we have to be careful with what we drink from the supermarkets, okay? Be led, be discerning and be led, you know, and just don't just go along with everything, but let the Lord tell you what you need to know and, you know, what you need to choose to drink, to eat and all of that. And so I want you all to pray, really pray for the supermarket, that whatever it is that the enemy is doing in that realm, be dismantled right now in Jesus' name. So God, we take authority right now. We pray in unison. God, your word says in, I believe in Psalms 133 or 136 about how when the church come together in unity, God, you are the one that bless. You bless unity. So I pray we will be in unity right now. We pray against everything that is happening in the realm of the spirit concerning the food industry, God, the deception, the evil thoughts, the evil ideas, and even the canned foods that are very toxic, that they are trying to release into these stores. God, I pray, let this sermon fall on your people today. Oh God, I ask you to send angels even now to these supermarkets, God, that as your people go there, let the spirit of discernment just be in that place. Because And I pray, yes, I plead the blood of Jesus over the ear gates of your people. God, I remember when I went to the supermarket, Lord, last week, my ear was popping. Like, I feel like I was in like an airplane. I was like, what is happening here? Why is my ear popping? It was hard for me to hear. But that's what the enemy is doing in the realm of the spirit. He's deafening people's ears so they cannot hear what is being done in the realm of the spirit by God. I take authority right now in Jesus' name, and I ask you right now, Lord, to send your angels, that ward, that dismantle, that guard, and that protect your people to go and fight, God, any demonic influences, any satanic assignment that is happening in the food industry, God, that you will rise up, Jehovah Gabor. You will rise up, God of the angel army. Send forth your armies of angels, Lord, to help your people today, Father. I pray for discernment. I pray for exposure of what the enemy is doing, even now, before it becomes a bill, becomes a law, or even if it becomes inducted into the marketplace. We pray right now that, Lord, le kore basete, rescatur iterema, de kiria batore base. Let it be dismantled right now in the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Yeah, I didn't even remember when, you know, I went to the marketplace and I tried to go get food. My ear was just like, you know how when you're in the airport, like when you're in the plane, you'll be sitting there for a long time and your ear is like, it's hard for you to hear. Your ear hurts a little bit. Like, yeah, you feel like you have water in your ear. That's how it felt. I was like, whoa, because I thought the girl that was, you know, ringing up my food had ear issues. So I was like, I was trying to, you know, pray healing over her ear. So I asked her, hey, do you have ear, you know, do you have any ear issue going on? She's like, oh, no, not that I know of. And so I was like, okay. Then I went to another supermarket and I felt the same thing. Then I had the vision of the snake and I was like, okay, the enemy is doing something in these supermarkets. So it's not just one supermarket that I discerned that. So I want you all to really be discerning, you know, with your ear gates, because God is speaking, and I want you to really tune in and hear what he has to say in this season, okay? And so, Lord, we just take authority over this moment and we seal it with the blood of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Have your way in this place, Ancient of Days. Have your way, God. I thank you for devoted with Bernice, and I pray that you will continue to place your hedge of protection over it and over everyone that listens. God, that you will bless them and favor them in this season of possessing what it is that you call them to possess. I pray peace over them, peace that surpasses understanding over them, that they will be peacemakers, that they will be those that can walk in peace, even with their enemies, Lord. I pray for that anointing of peace and reverence and endurance. I see the word endurance. I pray for endurance for them, God, that they will be able to finish the race that you have called them to finish. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, I want to encourage somebody. Sometimes it's okay to agree and obey God without the full details. You know, God finishes what he starts, right? He knows how to finish what he starts. He's the God that can, you know, make things happen. He knows, you know, the one that began it will do a work, and complete what he begins, right? So if God tells you to stop something, everybody could say, oh, you know, you have to finish what you start. You have to continue to go. No, obey God. If God says continue. And if people say don't continue, your first answer is to God. Your second answer is to yourself and other people. If God says it and he's confirmed it and he's made it crystal clear to you, you have to obey him, regardless of who says what, okay? Regardless of who says what, you have to go with God. His opinion is the finite say, all right? You have to. There are people that say, oh, you know, even for me personally, when I first started ministry school, it took me how many years? Like, I went through three different teachers, three different prophetic apostolic teachers, okay, before I became ordained as a prophet. The first teacher didn't ordain me because I had to learn certain things from that teacher and move on to the next teacher. Okay, the second teacher taught me about deliverance. Okay, and then the third teacher just literally just put a bow on it and just, you know, taught me a lot of paperwork that I needed to know. And that was it. You cannot move in your anointing, your office, your grace with just paperwork. You need to move in the anointing. You need to move in the demonstration as well. Okay, so if you are somebody called into the fivefold, go get you a nice, well-rounded, you know, school, apostolic school, prophetic school, evangelical school, pastoral school, teaching school. And that literally teaches you the book and the demonstration. That literally takes you through the whole process because there are different parts to this call. And if you miss part of it and you become ordained and you step into it, you are going to do yourself a disservice. Okay, that's why for me personally, God didn't say it was okay for me to be ordained by the first, you know, apostle that taught me, because I needed to learn more. Then the second one taught me deliverance and warfare and all of that, the demonstrations the demonstration part, you know, what I needed to step into in that, you know, anointing and power, moving in the power of, you know, power gift, right? So it's important to have both coins, both sides of the coins, because if you don't, you're going to really do yourself a disservice. I don't know who needs to hear that, but don't rush the season of ordination. Don't rush the season of, you know, getting the promise that God has for you, whatever it is. Even marriage, okay? Don't rush the season. Let God process you. Let God do it. You will hear many people say, oh, you got to finish, you know, school. Maybe God told you to pause and go into ministry for a year and then come back and finish it. You never know why. There were things that he was saving you from or doing some certain things for you, okay? So, and there's a season for a time. Sometimes, maybe, you know, in your family, you know, maybe you were supposed to be ordained, you know, as a minister or, you know, a prophet, a pastor, evangelist, apostle, whatever. Or maybe you were supposed to get your diploma at age, you know, 30, because the generational curse in your family is that anybody that passes the age of 30 cannot prosper. So here you come, you are the chain breaker. So you have to get your diploma at the age of 30 or your, you know, ordination at the age of 30, so that the curse is broken, right? So when God says pause because you're not close to 30 yet, you don't know why. You might be 28 and God says, you know what? Yeah, you're in school, but I want you to pause for a year. And then you become 29 and you have one more year left. And then you finish and guess what? You are 30 and you're breaking that curse. You might not even know that, but God knows. So I want to encourage you, let God lead your life. People don't, you know, especially if people who are telling you to do something that is contrary to what God is saying, they don't pay your bills. They don't help you like you need to be helped. They don't even call you and ask you how you're doing, or, you know, be inviting to you, right? They don't even, you know how to say the right words to you to encourage you. But the moment you want to follow God and do something, here they come trying to connect and tell you not to do what God is telling you to do. So you have to go with the Lord, okay? I always say that when people come in your life, you have to examine them, not just when you're leaving your life, but when you were not leaving their life, when you were there in their life, what were they doing to help you? Because, you know, relationship is a two-way street, right? It's a two-way street. Some people will put all their effort in when you're trying to leave, because they know that if they put all their effort in, you will not leave. But you have to look from the beginning to that time, what they have been doing when you were at your worst. Did they ever call you and talk to you and encourage you when you needed something? Did they ever help you out? You have to think of all of that, okay? And so, those are the things I want to just encourage somebody about. I want us to pray for China. I had a vision of China. I had a vision where it was like I saw it was a nighttime and I saw people sitting there and I saw fireworks going off and then it zoomed out, and then I saw more people, and then I saw the flag, the China flag. It was stars and red. It was a red flag with stars. I want to say, let's add Turkey to it. Let's add Turkey as well to this prayer. There's something going to be happening in Turkey and China, and it's going to be very massive. So let's pray about it, okay? Let's be led by the Holy Spirit and pray. If you don't know what to say, just pray in tongues, all right? One other thing is, I had a dream where I saw myself literally taking a Bible and smacking the mouth of, well, not smacking, but tapping, like, you know, tapping the mouth of musicians. I'm not going to say the musicians, you know. Normally when I have those type of dreams, I don't share people's names on here, especially if they're well known. So I took the Bible and I smacked the mouth of certain musicians, and then I corrected so the musician, the one that was singing, okay, I took the Bible and I tapped his mouth with it. And then I left, I saw musician that plays instrument for that same person, and then he said a curse word, and I told him, you cannot be a musician for God and still use curse word. You can't, out of your mouth you cannot speak evil and good. You cannot use your mouth and your body to glorify God and then to glorify the enemy. You can't do that. So what God is saying is that he's trying to refine the mouth and the personality and the lifestyle, especially the secret lifestyle, the private lifestyle of musicians, okay? He allowed me to tap the person's mouth with the Bible because it kind of took me back to Isaiah, right? When the angel took the coal and touched the lip of Isaiah's mouth. That is what is happening in the worship Christian music industry. God is refining tongues and hands and private relationships, okay? So if you're a musician, this is a season where the new method is happening, the new thing, the new way of doing things is happening. I'm going to talk to you about what, you know, August is all about. But I wanted to mention that, you know, that's what God is doing right now in the musical industry. You see how people are dying off in the musical industry because batons are being passed to those that have the new sound in them. And if you have the new sound, be okay with it. It's not going to be like everybody else's new sound. It's going to be different. That's how you know it's the new sound. And many people might not flock to it in the beginning, but just wait and see. People will come to understand this sound is unique. All right? And don't try to make your sound fit with everybody. Don't try to go and join, you know, worship group so that your sound can be like theirs. God is going to take you out of that group. I kept seeing, you know, people being removed from stages, musicians being removed from stages, and new people being put on stages. I saw a dream where I saw a girl who was literally dressed very lustful with a microphone in her hand, and all the leaders up front were looking at her like, this is unacceptable, but nobody was saying anything. And then somebody came and literally told her to get off the stage and go sit down. And she went and sat down, and somebody else who was really purity just all over that person, all over her, came and stood on stage and sang to the people, you know, glorify God. So God is switching. He is literally, it's like a switching of the guards happening. Okay, and so those that are, you know, doing it with the flesh, you're going to be sitting down, and those that are doing it in the spirit are going to be put on stage. The same thing I saw, the same thing, another dream where somebody who carries glory was ushered to a stage where somebody who is literally worshiping with flesh was there. And the person with the glory, who carried glory, was telling, you know, somebody on stage, like, when can they leave the stage because they don't feel like they belong on this stage of flesh. And then they finally was able to leave the stage, and then they left and exit from that place. I saw another dream where the same thing, somebody was in, who had glory, who carried glory, was part of a worship group, and they sang very, you know, good songs, but there was no glory in it. It's just performance. And one of the people told the girl who carried glory to leave the group, and the girl left and went and sat down. So what God is doing is that he's removing those that carry glory from certain groups of worshipers. He's separating the glory carriers from those that don't carry any glory when they sing. Okay, so if God is separating you in the season, be okay with it, because you carry the glory. You cannot be tainted. You cannot merge with those that are walking in the flesh, because he's going to put you on stages where the glory is going to be sustained. Okay, it's not going to be like pouring new wine in old wineskin. He's removing you from the old wineskin, because this wine needs new wineskin to hold it so it can be sustained. Okay, so be okay with it when God separates you from certain people. So it's not that they're bad. It's just that they're not mature in the realm of the spirit to go where you're going. Okay, so be okay with that. All right, I think that those are the prophetic words that God... Oh yeah, one more thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So one other thing that I want to talk about is what God is doing in the pastoral ministry. So influence of pastors and all of that. I had a dream where I saw another really famous person who's a pastor. Everybody know him. And he was on the pulpit. There was two of him. There was one standing on the pulpit, and he had a lot of like young adults all around him. And it was like a prayer meeting. It was like a prayer service where they just came to pray. And then I saw the same person. So I thought, oh wait, he's a twin? I don't think he's a twin. So I saw the same person, another person of him. But this time, this person went and laid on the floor to pray. And so it was him, it was two of him, one standing at the pulpit, okay, leading prayer, and the other one laying on the floor, about to really, you know, encounter God on the floor. So when I woke up from the dream, I said, okay, God, what are you saying? And God is saying that he's trying to draw pastors to not just be bold in leading prayer at their church, but also be able to maintain prayer in the secret place, shutting their door and going into their prayer chambers and praying to him. Many pastors only pray when they come on the pulpit. They don't have a prayer life. There are two of you, you know, God, as God showed me, two of that pastor, one that prays at the pulpit and one that prays on the floor. Okay, because if you're able to stay on the floor, you can be able to stay on the pulpit. Amen. If you're able to sustain yourself on the floor and pray in your quiet time, you'll be able to sustain yourself at the pulpit. And so he's also saying that he wants the pastors to draw the young adults, the young people to establish a thirst and a desire for prayer, because that is where everything starts. Because Jesus, before he even picked his disciples, he went into prayer before he picked them. So his house will be a house of what? A house of prayer. You got it. So God is calling pastors to maintain that platform of praying and that secret place of praying. So if you are convicted, this is for you. If you don't pray, you know, every day in your quiet chambers, you need to start doing that. And if you only pray at the pulpit, you need to really go back in your chambers. Or if you only pray in the chambers, in the quiet chambers, and you don't pray, you don't lead prayer at your church, your ministry, you need to change. You need to do something different. Or if you don't even allow the young adults and the, you know, the young people to be part of the prayer in the ministry or the church, you need to change that. So those are the things that the Lord is saying to his people at this time. If I forgot any of it, I will, you know, post it on my Facebook somewhere. All right. So I want us to continue to keep California, Florida in prayer. I talked about it in July, you know, beginning of July, to keep them in prayer. So let's keep them in prayer, because there is a, there is something going on in Florida, where people are having some issues, you know, with their body. I remember God was when I was praying for Florida back in July, early July, God was talking to me about how I should pray for Florida. I should pray for Florida. And I was like, okay, you want me to pray for Florida? What is it about? And he was talking to me about how he wants us to pray about, like, people's like leg issues, or, you know, having, like, unable to walk, or you know, having some bone issues. And actually Florida, there's like an increase of leprosy. So let's pray about that. And California, God is talking to me about, like, Hollywood, about how we have to pray for those in Hollywood, and also the fire that's happening in California. So let's pray about those things as well. Okay, let's pray about those things. And I want you to pray for your country, pray for your city, your state. We are not in a season where we're just being selfish and just praying for ourselves only. There's a time where you go into fasting and prayer, where you literally pray for yourself. You put yourself on, you know, the prayer list, and you pray for yourself. It's okay to do that. But then there's time where God will show you, hey, there's an accident about to happen, and then you pray against it. If you don't know what to say, just start praying in tongues, okay? Just start praying in tongues. Every day, I wanna do a challenge with you guys, everybody that's listening. I want you to pray for this whole week, actually for 2 weeks, okay? I want you to dedicate 30 minutes. If you can't do 30 minutes, just do 15 minutes of praying for your city and your state. Just say, God, I'm praying for my city and my state. And just start praying in tongues for it, for 15 minutes or for 30 minutes every day for 2 weeks. Just do that. Trust me, you will become an Issachar prophet when God sees that you are actually, you know, stepping into that place and really becoming somebody who cares. He will just put the anointing on you. God is looking for vessels, because, you know, this time, being a watchman and a watchwoman, the enemy is fighting watchmen and watchwomen, especially those that are called to, you know, guard the morning and the night seasons, you know, the nighttime and the morning time, the early mornings. You know, the enemy is really trying to take people from being on their watch, and you can't do that. So God is always looking for people to, you know, be on the watch and really pray, okay? All right, so I want us to listen to a song, and then I'm going to talk about what August is all about.
we need to know, for we are your people, and we're called by your name. So Lord, we humble ourselves to you, Lord, and we pray, that you would heal the land. We want you to heal the land. Lord, we need you to heal the land. We need you to heal the land. 'Cause if we ever needed you, we need you now, we need you now. If we ever needed you, we need you now, we need you now. Lift it up, church. And if we ever needed you, we need you now, we need you now. Crying out, God, if we ever needed you, God, we need you now. We need you now. We need you now. Now. We need you now. We need you.
verse. I want us to look at this Bible verse. Peace I leave with you, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. What is God saying? He's giving you his peace that surpasses understanding. His peace is not like the world, okay? The things and the places and the luxury, it's not, it doesn't give you peace. It's temporary. But when you actually dwell with the Lord, like how we just listened to the, you know, the song, Dwell Here, you have a peace that nobody can take from you. You have a peace that nobody can understand, because that peace does not come from anything that is not of God. That peace comes from God, straight from the Lord. It's like, you know, when Jesus told the woman at the well, it's like, you know, it would be like living water, okay? It's living water. It never stops. It's always living. It's always overflowing. It's always producing. It's always consistent. It never stops living, okay? So living water, that's like peace, okay? It's a fountain of overflow. Always providing, always producing for you what you need. So I want you to remember, this August, I want you to dwell on the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace, okay? The fruit of the Spirit, peace, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one thing that he cannot take from you, that you should never let him take from you, is your peace of mind, okay? For me personally, when I see that somebody is literally sent to make my life unpeaceful, I love peace. I don't like drama. I'm not a drama person, okay? There's enough drama in the realm of the Spirit for me to deal with, all right? I fight different things. I don't fight people. I fight demonic, you know, principality. Like, we fight not against flesh and blood, right? So I have enough drama to war against. I don't need drama in the flesh, okay? I already have enough. And the Bible alone has enough drama in there. I mean, look at Jacob, Leah, and Rebecca, right? Look at the book of Judges. There's enough drama. Even Moses and the Israelites, enough drama for him to drop a whole tablet to the floor, okay? So when you are in ministry, you don't want drama in the physical, because enough drama is happening in the realm of the Spirit. And so for me, when I see that somebody, you know, who just came in my life or is in my life is causing too much drama, I have to cut you off. I have to. Either I have to let you go, or there has to be a separation, because I need my peace to be able to function in a way that I need to function and do what I'm supposed to do and called to do. Okay? So I want you to reevaluate the people in your life, because you just cross over to the new season. 8 is the number of new beginnings, new season, new things, okay, prophetically. 7 is the number of completion. 6 is the number of man, okay? So I want you to really evaluate the people in your life. Ask God, is this supposed to cross over or not, okay? So it's important to see who is supposed to do that and who's not. Okay, I'm not saying go around cutting everybody off. No, seek God. For me personally, I don't cut people off. The Lord himself come tell me to cut people off. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. He's like, I need you to separate. For me, I get comfortable. I'm like, this is it. All right, let's do it. And then here comes the Lord. Separate. I'm like, what? No. And then I go back into prayer, and he's like, I need you to separate. I'm doing something here. Trust me. So I never cut people off on my own accord. Now, if I'm dating a guy and he's, you know, not doing it for me, I'm like, okay, yeah, you need to go. But like with friendship, with certain relationships, the Lord literally like told me to end it. And so I do. So I want you to be cautious in this season, and ask God who, what, where, when. Just ask God who needs to go with you, who doesn't. Okay, this is a prophetic word for USA. I already told you guys last year, God is going to overthrow same-sex marriage. It's going to happen. Just watch. It's going to be overthrown. It's not going to be something that be in effect. And I've been praying about this. I was like, Lord, le cure basete. Let it happen. In the name of Jesus. And Ellen's show was taken off of the line. And I was so happy to see that. I was so happy to see that that woman left, you know, reality TV. Okay. Now God is saying to USA, this is the word of the Lord to USA. Stop the hand of the enemy at all costs when it comes to homosexuality. Okay. If a man and a woman never came together, you that is listening to me will not be here on this earth. If a sperm and an egg didn't come together, and what I see is that there's going to be a time where people literally are just going to give their sperm and their eggs and it's just going to be grown without them having any intercourse. And I think it's already, you know, something that's possible, but it's going to be so like in the future, it's going to be so it's going to be like, you know, when you put like a seed in the ground and it grows, or like when you put, you know, certain things together in the laboratory and it just grows without you having to like do anything, like anything with it, like how the laboratory meat, you don't have to actually like grow a chicken. You know, I think it's gonna go to a place where they're gonna actually like just put a sperm and an egg together, and without even having a child in the womb of a mother, and the child just grow. I believe it probably is already, you know, there, but it's gonna be available to everybody with how things are going. But God is saying that he did not make a mistake. He said what? To be fruitful and multiply in Genesis. And that's what the enemy is after. He's after our fruit and our multiplication. Because the more we multiply, the more people can have advantage to get to know who God is and be on the army of the Lord. That's what the enemy is after. So the devil is after your family, okay? After the man, the woman, and the children with this homosexual spirit. Like I told you guys, Jezebel is the doorkeeper. Ahab and Jezebel, okay? Jezebel celebrates perversion. Jezebel is okay with perversion, okay? She don't want to talk against it. She don't want nobody to be free. She actually want to, you know, cause people who might have that issue or might be dealing with that issue or might have a stronghold. She want to cause you to be fully, transformed to the opposite sex. She want to be the one to pervert you and make you worse, make you homosexual. So I want you guys to be very cautious about the people in your life, because in this season, the enemy is not coming after you. He's using people to come after you, okay? If he cannot come after you, he's going to use people to come and lure you. Because the perverse spirit, homosexual, transgender spirit, is a transference spirit, okay? I want you to go and look at my podcast episode on homosexuality. That was something that the Lord literally took me on a fast and prayer and told me, Bernice, I want you to teach this. Okay, I want you to teach this. This was like 2 years ago or a year ago. I don't remember. But God was like, I want you to teach this. I was like, no, I don't want to. And he was like, I need you to teach this. And I'm like, okay, give me something to teach. And he kept telling me, this is what I want you to teach. So I started to teach it. So, and also, you know, pray for people who need deliverance. So you need to stay away from any person that will try to, you know, tell you that homosexuality is okay or celebrate it or tolerate it. Okay? You don't need Eli's in your life. You don't need no revelation that the church, revelation to church in your life. You need to be a voice and speak against it. Okay, be like Samuel and speak against Eli's household. Be like the church that speaks against the things that are not of God. Be bold and speak up against it, because the enemy is using people, and especially this is what the enemy is doing. The enemy is using people's mouth to pronounce those things upon people. You know, when you speak something, it has power. Your voice has power. And other people's voice in your life has power. Okay? life and death is in the what? Power of the tongue. And those that love it will eat its fruit. So, when somebody, you know, speak those homosexual words on somebody, the enemy is using it as a seed, to plant a seed so that a, you know, a spirit can attach itself. And then the enemy will send people around the person who has that spirit in them to try and transfer that spirit on them, or will send a Jezebel around to seduce. It's look, the kingdom of darkness is very, very controlled and very organized, okay? You gotta be your discernment has to be sharp. Like, when I meet people, I don't just look at them in the natural. I look at them in the spirit. I remember one time, and I'm saying this because I know I'm rambling, but I wanna encourage somebody to be discerning, okay? I remember there was this specific person that came in my life, and it was a random stranger I met. And, you know, God caused me to prophesy to this person. And then I met at a specific Christian event, which was awesome. But, you know, whenever this person would text me or message me, I would see like a yellow snake. Before the person messaged me, I'll see a yellow snake. And I'm like, what is this? And then I'll get a message from this person. That was the Lord telling me, I need you to disconnect from this person. So what did I do? I disconnected. Okay. This person was not sent by the Lord. You have to be careful. You have to be discerning. Who's sending this person? What is sending this person? What am I seeing? Okay? You have to be careful. You have to be careful. Discern who is coming in your life. Because sometimes it only takes one person to destroy your life, or to cause you to be stagnant, or to cause you to be in bondage, to cause you to be in a stronghold. Okay, so discern. All right, so August. What is August all about? August is about the new thing, okay? You are birthing the new thing. The Lord took me to Luke 1. I was asking the Lord, I believe it was the last week of July. I was like, God, what is August about? And he's like, the birthing the new thing. Okay. This is the month to give birth to the new thing God is releasing into the world. The new instrument, the new computer, the new watch, the new phone, the new sound, the new type of, you know, movie, the new type of buildings, the new. Okay. The new type of books. You know, when black and white TV was there, but then colored TV came, everybody was talking about it. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, have you seen colored TV? Every single person threw away their black and white TV to go get a colored TV. This is the season where colored TV is being replaced by black and white TV. This is a season where the new thing is being replaced with the old thing. Okay, so there's a new sound, new worship, new way of worship, and new instrument, new cars, new things, new phones, new technology, new industry, new things in all the different mountains of influence. New thing, new method, new sound, new way of doing things. The old version is not important anymore. This is the new version. New thing. New. Okay? New light. Alright? New light. New way of turning on the light. Okay? Remember when you can clap and the light will turn on and off? When it first came, everybody was like, whoa! Right? The new thing is coming. This is the season where it's being birthed. Some of them are already doing it secretly, and you're about to be releasing it. Okay? So I want you to look at Luke 1 talking about how Mary and Elizabeth was pregnant, right? So Mary went and visit Elizabeth, right? So this is where collaboration in birthing the new is seen, okay? The old people are carrying the new thing. The young people are carrying the new thing. The forerunner of the new thing is being birthed, Okay, the forerunner and the new thing is being birthed. Jesus Christ, right, came after John the Baptist. Jesus and John the Baptist were both in their mother's womb in the same time, right? But John the Baptist is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist went forth and proclaimed about Jesus Christ before Jesus Christ came about. So the forerunner and the thing that is about to replace the forerunner are both being birthed in the same time. God is so brilliant that he knows how to do that. Okay? And so do not be jealous of what somebody is doing in this season. Do not be jealous of what God caused somebody to release or do. You don't know the process they had to go through, because Elizabeth went through a process, right? Even Mary went through a process. Elizabeth went through a process because she and her husband were barren. They did not have kids whatsoever. They were very old. And finally, she conceived. And then her husband, you know, because of disbelief, he was muted, because he went to the temple to pray, and you know, when he was told that, you know, they're gonna have kids and they're gonna have a kid, he didn't really, you know, believe. So this is a season where you have to just believe the word of the Lord, even if it doesn't make sense. If God says you are going to be the next president, just believe it. When are you going to be the next president? You don't know. You just believe it. Okay. If God has said it and confirmed it to you, just hold it in your heart and just believe it. Okay. If God says that, you know, you're going to win the next, you know, award in the Emmy, you know, just believe it. If you're going to be the next one to, you know, open the next Apple company, just believe it. Don't question it. Just believe it. Okay. And we know that, you know, Mary went through her own process. She was engaged to marry Joseph. Think about it. Having to tell Joseph, hey, you know, I'm pregnant, but not by you or any man. It's just the Holy Spirit. God had to interfere and tell Joseph, hey, Mary's going to have a child. I'm going to name him, you know, Jesus. So if it comes to God sending a dream or a word to somebody to interfere, to help you out, he knows how to do that. Just be okay with what he's releasing inside of you, or what he's birthing through you. Okay? So I want you guys to read Luke 1. Okay? That's your homework. Read Luke 1. So this is the new thing. Birthing the new thing. I want you to go ask the Lord, what is the new thing that he wants you to birth? Many of you already know, because you started to step into it in July and June. So you were already doing it before August came. Okay? And last it is, the Lord Jesus is revealing himself to his prophets and even some of his apostles. You got to be in alignment to see it. I remember I had a vision of Jesus Christ, two of them actually. One of them, he showed me his hand. And one prophet said that Jesus, he saw a vision of Jesus walking in the grain, in the wheat, or in a field of grain. Okay? A lot of prophets are saying that they've been having visions of Jesus Christ. All right? Whenever there's a season of seeing Jesus Christ in visions or in dreams, there is something profound that's about to happen. Okay? So get in alignment, get in the secret place, really get close to God. He holds your future in his hands. No person does, you don't, nobody does but God. Okay? If man holds our future, he would have never told Abraham to leave his father and mother's house. He would have said, stay right there, right? But he holds your future. So God, we thank you for this moment. And we pray that your hand will be upon your people. Your hand is open to your children in this moment. And I just pray that those that have been marked to birth the new thing will be bold and go forth and do it. Let the critical voices of the people be dismantled now in Jesus' name. And I pray that their ears will be tuned to you alone. They will be diligent in what it is that you're calling them to birth out and release to the nations, because the nation is in need of it. If it's a song, let them sing it. If it's a book, let them release it. If it's an album, let them release it. If it's a technology, let them do it. If it's an industry, a fashion, clothing line, food company, whatever resources it is, let them do it. I pray that they will be bold as a lion and release what it is that you're calling them to release. Let them mount up with wings as eagles and soar and run. What I see in the realm of the spirit is like, you know, people lined up and running toward a mark, okay? So keep running. Keep running, remnant. God has already marked you, and he's calling you to do what it is that he has only placed inside of you. Release the new thing. You are the new thing. He's searched the world, and he's found a remnant, and he's found it in you. So do it for him, for his glory, completely for his glory. So we love you, God, and we seal this prayer in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Devoted today. I hope that your August is blessed and highly favored. Remember to look at Luke 1 and also look at the fruit of peace, how you can exercise peace in your life, and also ask God for discernment with the people and the things and places that you go and the people you interact with. You need discernment in this season. Love you all. Continue to pray. Remember the challenge? Pray 15 minutes or 30 minutes for your city or your state or your country. Love you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you, and talk to you guys soon. Faithful through the ages, God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant and faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you do just what you say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting, same I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. Pass away, your word remains the same. Yeah, your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast and let my heart learn. When you speak a word, it will come to the rising.
Bless you. Yes, I'll still bless you. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of my trial, I'll still bless you. In the middle of the road,